content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from several sources. I'm going to start with an article about real people from AARP, the magazine. So this one is entitled Up in the Air, the Fastest Skywriter in the World. For Stephen Stennis, an attention-grabbing flying trick is part of a family tradition. My family has been skywriting for more than 80 years and three generations. My grandfather, Andy Stennis, was writing Pepsi in the sky before people knew what Pepsi was. He wrote it more than 7,000 times. Andy invented and patented sky typing. He said to himself, "It takes forever to write this one word. There has to be a faster way." So he figured out how to write a message in the sky with a group of planes flying abreast, five planes minimum. Skywriting is sort of like making a dot matrix printout in the sky. A message of 20 to 25 characters takes only about 3 minutes to do. The height of each letter is 1,200 feet, almost as tall as the Empire State Building. We're the only people in the world who do sky typing. We've got the patents. My father, Greg, was skywriting before he could drive a car, and I went on skywriting and sky typing missions with him from the age of 5. I basically grew up in the back of a plane. My mother would say, "Get an education. I don't want you to do what your dad does." And I did that. I got a bachelor's degree in finance, spent 10 or 11 years in the corporate world. But the Stennis men have a passion for flying. In 2009, my father and I became 50-50 partners in the company, and we still run the business together. We usually wait until we have 10 messages commissioned before we fly to make it cost-effective. In 2021, we had one guy who wanted to sky-type a proposal over the Santa Monica Pier on a particular day, so he bought 10 messages, including, "I love you more than anything. Excited to spend my life with you, and will you marry me?" When you're on the ground and you start seeing a letter being formed in the sky, there's a bit of romance behind it. People take a minute to stare. They want to see what the next letter is going to be. And we fly so high, they can't even see the airplanes. It's like God is writing to them. This article was as told to Natasha Stoynoff. Stephen Stennis, 50, co-owner and president of Skytypers, Inc., lives in Chino, California. Now, here's a little sidebar article with another article that's too long for us to tackle, but this one is entitled Longevity Tips, How to Live Long and Prosper. Act like you're rich. Even if you're not wealthy, one researcher recommends adopting the habits of the affluent, prioritizing sleep, managing stress, and eating as healthy as possible. Don't skip screenings. Researcher Thomas Paris emphasized the importance of continuing cancer screening, even past the age when most people think they're necessary. Staying vigilant can catch diseases early and keep you on track for a longer life. The right kind of drugs. Four FDA-approved drugs, including GLP-1, think Ozempic, and SGLT2 inhibitors used for diabetes are showing great potential in extending health span, making them worth a conversation with your doctor. And faith and connection, whether it's a link to a higher power, a lifelong partner, or a group of friends, having something other than yourself to rely on can be a powerful force in aging well. For tips and resources on making connections, go to aarp.org/connect. Now I want to go to a cover story in AARP The Bulletin. This one is pretty lengthy, so I'm going to divide it up, but I think it's important for those of us of a certain age. Pain-free for life. In an exclusive excerpt adapted from his new book, It Doesn't Have to Hurt, Sanjay Gupta reveals an array of medications and techniques that offer hope for those who live with chronic pain. Not too long ago, I was skiing with my kids on their spring break when my mother called. She knew I was on the slopes, so I was concerned at seeing her number pop up. I pushed my helmet away from my ear and said, "Hello," and she got straight to the point. I broke my back. My mother, who was then 81 and had hardly ever been sick a day in her life, had lost her balance while rolling her suitcase and toppled backward, landing in a sitting position. It hurt, and afterward, her back felt sore, but she didn't think much of it until the pain persisted. Despite massaging her back, resting it, icing it, and even heating it for a few days, the pain would not go away. So, nearly a week after the injury, she went to get an X-ray. Mom had a fracture of the first vertebra in her lumbar spine, an L1 compression fracture that compressed her bone from its normal cylindrical shape to that of a pancake. "I cannot live like this," she told me. "I knew the excruciating pain could be expected to last at least a couple of months, which would feel like a lifetime for her. I also knew she wasn't interested in taking high doses of opioid pain medications." Finally, she made it clear that she didn't want an aggressive operation, given her age and frailty. So, along with her doctors, we landed on a relatively new approach to deal with her pain, a minimally invasive procedure known as kyphoplasty, in which a hollow needle is used to insert a small balloon into the broken bone, which is then inflated. As the balloon enlarges, the bone starts to regain its normal height. X-rays make it possible to assess when the bone looks close to normal again. And then the balloon can be deflated and removed. Finally, a dollop of hot liquid cement is injected, which quickly hardens and helps the vertebra maintain its normal anatomy. On the morning of the procedure, she looked at me and said, "If this doesn't help with the pain, I think my time here on earth is done." It was devastating to hear. My tough mom now seemed so weak. That is the thing about pain. When you are in agony, it is all-encompassing. Thankfully, the procedure, which took about an hour, went well, and my mom felt almost instantaneous relief. While the surgery can relieve pain in many different ways, it certainly seemed that a significant amount of her pain relief was psychological, because the procedure had provided a much-needed dose of hope. Whatever the cause of the case, she immediately reduced her pain score from "I want to die" to 3 out of 10. On the day I left her, she was whistling in the kitchen as she cooked. My mother's recovery isn't a miracle or even an anomaly. Indeed, a dizzying amount of medical progress has been made since I became a neurosurgeon more than 25 years ago. We better understand what causes pain, what may best relieve it, and what we can do to minimize or even eliminate certain types of pain. Many of those life-changing insights have not yet been made easily available to the public. If you are in pain, there are far more effective options than you may have previously realized, as well as important things you should start doing today to greatly reduce your chances of suffering pain tomorrow. These are strategies I have started incorporating into my life, as well as the lives of my wife, teenage kids, and parents. Your pain management toolbox. If you've read anything about pain over the last 20 years, you have likely been angered by the opioid epidemic, a tragedy fueled by ignorance, arrogance, and greed. Because opioids have consumed most of the conversation, most people don't even realize there are plenty of other effective options to help relieve pain, including breathtaking breakthroughs that would have been unimaginable only a few years ago. Modern science and ancient wisdom have collectively begun to crack the code on pain. You can too. Consider this your pain management toolbox. Let's look at tool number one, your body's natural painkillers. You know that opioids are some of the world's most powerful painkillers. But what you may not know is that your body is adept at producing natural compounds that have similar effects. They're called endorphins, a term that merges the words endogenous, meaning from within, and morphine. Pump up the endorphins, decrease the pain. How does it work? Opioids bind to receptors located in the outer membrane of nerve cells in the brain, spinal cord, and other organs, triggering a cascade of chemical changes within and between neurons, producing feelings of pleasure as well as pain relief. Under extreme stress, the fight or flight hormones can trigger the endogenous opioid system, which greatly reduces the pain. It is one of the most potent analgesic anti-pain modules or molecules that exists, says Daniela Salvamini, director of St. Louis University Institute for Translational Neuroscience. These endogenous opioid benefits take place at a subconscious level, but now we know that simply moving, jogging, or going for a brisk walk can trigger an endorphin release that delivers the rush we call a runner's high. Gazing at a sunset or a loved one can help do it as well. If you don't believe in the essential power of these chemicals, consider the story of Dan Kruger, whose 40-year career as a motorbike racer led to fractures of his back, ribs, hands, wrists, fingers, leg, ankles, toes, jaw, and collarbones, and eventually an opioid addiction. Kruger overcame both the pain and the addiction through 15-minute guided meditations and his own mindfulness exercises. It's amazing that while meditating to the 15-minute guided recording, my chronic pain or migraines disappear, he says. He compares it to his workouts at the gym, training to stay in shape. I train every day because it gives me these endorphins that help me get positive, reduce stress, and stay fit. Meditation does much the same thing for me. Over time, Kruger carefully weaned himself off opioids, even refusing them after injuries and operations that followed. After a full year of his opioid-free recovery, the combination of brain training techniques and other conventional and complementary pain management tools continued to deliver adequate relief, he says. Now let's look at tool number two, healing with meat. You've probably heard of RICE, rest, ice, compression, and elevation, and many have even used it to treat a strained muscle or painful bruise. Recently, though, a growing consensus suggests that better option is to replace RICE, R-I-C-E, with MEAT, M-E-A-T, which stands for Movement, Exercise, Analgesia, and Treatment. Here's why. The downside of RICE is that it tamps down short-term inflammation. Normally, we think of inflammation as a bad thing, and that's true when we're talking about chronic inflammation. Chronic inflammation, which occurs throughout the body, can cause pain directly by attacking the tissues. For example, in the case of arthritis, a painful condition associated with chronic inflammation. And it can also lead to diseases from heart disease to cancer that can inflict pain on us. But acute inflammation, meaning the swelling and redness that occur at the site of an injury, is actually beneficial to our healing process. While dialing down inflammation may initially ease pain, it also can delay or inhibit long-term tissue healing. Given what we now know, RICE should no longer be the blanket recommendation for pain management. Instead, the emphasis is now on these four steps. Movement. Mild movement or exercise improves blood flow and circulation of healing agents to the injured area, stimulating muscle, tendons, ligaments, and other tissue. Exercise. For a muscle injury, this would involve gentle moves designed to slowly restore function and flexibility. For other types of soft tissue that are bruised or swollen from, for example, surgery or trauma, mild exercise further improves circulation. Analgesia. Cautious use of pain relievers or natural anti-inflammatories such as turmeric or capsaicin, which may inhibit healing for the reasons already described. Also consider topical anesthetics and analgesic patches. and then finally T, treatment. This might include physical therapy, massage, acupuncture, or less familiar therapies such as dry needling, which will be described later, myofascial release, and other techniques using targeted massage to release tension in a specific muscle area, and joint mobilization to improve range of motion. We'll continue with this next time. Now, let's look at another article from the Bulletin, a Q&A with Rob Reiner. I used to joke that if I ever won the Nobel Prize, people would say that Meathead won the Nobel. Actor and director Rob Reiner, 78, has been in the business of laughs literally since birth. With the new film out, Spinal Tap 2, he's still at it. Question. Your father was Carl Reiner, who created the Dick Van Dyke Show and directed hit comedies. Was your childhood normal? I thought it was normal, because you don't have anything to compare it to. Oddly enough, my father was on television before we had a television. We bought one in 1951, so we could see him on Saturday nights. It wasn't until I went to my friends' houses that I found it wasn't as funny over there. Because, you know, Mel Brooks was around our house and Norman Lear, Groucho Marx, the Monty Python people. Everybody that made people laugh came by the house. Did your father pressure you to go into show business? I think he was nervous about me getting into the business because the guy had 12 Emmys and was an unbelievable success. Was it tough to live up to? I remember my parents told me a story that when I was a kid, I wanted to change my name. And they thought, oh, poor kid, he's worried about living in the shadow. They asked me what I wanted to change my name to, and I said, Carl, because I wanted to be just like my father. Many got to know you as Meathead, Archie Bunker's son-in-law, on All in the Family. Do people still call you Meathead? I do get called that sometimes. I used to joke that if ever I won the Nobel Prize, people would say that Meathead won it. Why do you think people still talk about that show after all these years? We presented both sides pretty equally. It was the way we played off each other that made it funny. The creator, Norman Lear, wanted the conversation to happen, for people to talk afterward. At the time, we were a country of about 200 million people, and every Saturday we got 40 to 45 million people watching that show. That meant you had 40 to 45 million people having a shared experience every week, and they would talk about it after. I don't think that they would allow that show today. It's too politically incorrect. You have directed hit movies for decades, including When Harry Met Sally, Misery, A Few Good Men, and this is Spinal Tap. Do any stand out for you? The one that means the most to me is probably Stand By Me, a 1986 adaptation of Stephen King's novel, because it was the first time I made a movie that was very separate from anything my father would have done. My father trafficked in satire. Stand By Me was the first time I did something that was really an extension of my personality. It had humor in it, but it also had emotion and some nostalgia, and all of that. I wouldn't say it was the best. That's for other people to decide, but that one means the most to me. This is Spinal Tap came out in 1984, but it wasn't successful right away, correct? People didn't understand it. They thought it was a real documentary. We screened it in Dallas for the first time, and people said to me, well, I don't get this. Why would you make a movie about a band that nobody's ever heard of? And one that's this bad? I tried to explain that, well, it's satire. The film evolved into a beloved movie. People quoted every day. Did you know that would happen? We had no idea. It became this cult classic. Like you say, people quote it. You know, these go to 11. Or there's a fine line between stupid and clever. Over the years, it kept growing. It has been put in the Library of Congress and into the National Film Registry. Recently, Time Out listed the best comedies of all time, and this is Spinal Tap was number one. I was blown away. We get approached by rock stars saying it's a staple on their tour bus. Sting told me that he's seen it many times, and every time he doesn't know whether to laugh or cry. Spinal Tap 2 is about the band reforming for one last show after a 15-year hiatus. Paul McCartney and Elton John have big roles. Were you worried about being able to capture lightning in a bottle again? You're always concerned, but we're all steeped in improvisation. That's the world we come out of. So can we make that horse run again? There are some big laughs in the new movie. Does the new film have specific things to say about reinvention? It basically says, no matter how old you are, if you can still do it and still enjoy doing it, then do it. I asked Paul McCartney about this. I said, there's you, Mick Jagger, Elton John, and you still like to perform? What is it about you guys? Is it that you love the music and you love performing? And he says, yeah, and the drugs. A joke line in the new movie. The point is, these guys just love doing it. If they're given an opportunity, they'll get in front of an audience and play. Now, also from the bulletin, we have this article, A Life Coach in Your Pocket. AARP joins with Kumano to help older adults discover what's next. Older people often find that they've lost their sense of purpose once their life work ends. Research shows it's so normal for people who are retired to start asking the questions, what's next? What do I do with my life now? Says Vic Stretcher, a professor at the University of Michigan School of Public Health and founder of well-being company Kumano. Now AARP members can get help forging a new path for themselves. We've teamed up with Kumano to offer AARP members a free year of purposeful, a science-backed app for phone or desktop to help build positive habits to feel happier, healthier, and more or energized, says Heather Naraki, AARP Vice President of Experiences and Connections. People with a stronger sense of purpose have significantly lower rates of Alzheimer's disease and dementia, lower stroke and heart attack risk, and fewer sleep disturbances and are more resilient to stressors, studies show. The key, Stretcher says, is actually articulating that purpose. If you can state it, you're about 40% less likely to get depressed. On the Purposeful app, that's the name of it, P-U-R-P-O-S-E-F-U-L, AARP members and AARP.org registered users can get help crafting a purpose statement, as well as access to tip-of-the-week emails and a quarterly purpose webcast specific to AARP. For a limited time, AARP members can also get a free one-year subscription to the full Purposeful Experience, which includes daily coaching, deeper content, and additional resources from AARP, such as connections to local events and tips and resources tailored to older adults. Non-members who are AARP registered users can also access this for a discounted rate. Users of Purposeful tend to be individuals going through transitions in their lives, such as a graduation, a wedding, retirement, divorce, or loss of a loved one, Stretcher says. I like to say that you usually need Purposeful when you get a Hallmark card. David Kanazawa, 68, began using Purposeful after he found his mental health had, quote, taken a nosedive because of a very challenging past 5 to 10 years that included losing a leg in an accident, going through a divorce, and being laid off the job he had held for 31 years, he said. The Leesburg, Virginia area resident likens Purposeful to having my own private counselor. It helps me to pick up my mood and not be so negative. A self-described huge procrastinator, he says one of the first things the app helped him do was develop a routine for taking his medications. All these many steps are the things that are helping me find my purpose, simply by getting myself in a better frame of mind. The app, which is based on more than 1,000 psychological studies, prompts you to address whatever aspects of your life you would like to have help with, from resilience and self-discipline to physical activity and healthy eating. For assistance with specific matters like food access, housing, and transportation, Purposeful can connect users with services in their area, even providing maps. To get the most out of Purposeful, Stretcher suggests answering the initial assessment as honestly as you can so the app can more authentically give you help. He also recommends turning on notifications so the app can send wellness tips. We have well over 1,000 tips, and every one of the tips has been carefully vetted by staff who is expert in this area, he adds. The app also allows users to share their own wellness tips with other Purposeful users, but only after the tips are vetted by Kumanu's health experts. We find especially older people tend to really want to do that, to provide a strategy for what's worked for them, Stretcher says. You can go to aarp.org/purposeful to find out more. Well, we have time for a couple of money-saving tips before the end of our broadcast today. This one is still on travel. Take a low-cost tour. Several websites, including freetour.com, freetoursbyfoot.com, and guruwalk.com, pair travelers with knowledgeable local guides for free or pay-what-you-want walking tours of cities throughout the world. Alternatively, hoof it on your own by using your phone to download a self-guided tour via the GPS My City app. Be flexible when flying. Packed flights, especially during the busy summer months, have airlines increasingly asking for volunteers to give up their seats on oversold planes. Raising your hand to take a later flight can be quite lucrative, even topping $1,000 or more per person. Keep in mind, you can negotiate with the gate agent. Ask for meal vouchers for a first-class seat on the later flight. And eat like a local. Food retailers provide a cheap and creative way to understand new cultures. There's even a grocery store tourism trend on social media that encourages travelers to hit the region's local supermarket alongside the usual sightseeing stops. After all, food samples and even new flavors of snack foods and candy can be as memorable as top attractions. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. I do hope you've enjoyed listening. Please join me next time. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.